is the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the 311 Radio Show right here on VOB 92.9 FM. Hope you've been having a great Sunday. This is Krista J. Paul. And of course, with us as usual is the Barbados Fire Service. And we welcome to the studios Fire Prevention Officers Natasha Ford.
Good afternoon.
And Jason Collins.
Hi, good afternoon, Barbados.
All right, well, we're now in the month of February. Yes, the year is going by so very quickly. My goodness. And, hope that we've been having a great year so far. And we've been giving out quite a bit of useful information here on the 311 radio show. Last week, we would have had a teacher from St. George Primary School, Marsha Burke, and she shared some very, very pertinent information all about compost. And remember, if you have any leaves, etc., could make up that compost that is very, very good for the garden. Remember, you can always pass on to her if you have more than enough, right? St. George Primary School, and we say good afternoon to you there as well. And to all the schools again that are using. Yes.
And don't forget those parents who are living close by, go and support the farmers market. They've been doing their recycling, they've been putting it back to the earth. Go and see what the school has to offer. Go and view the produce that has come from recycled material.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, so today we're going to be taking a look at, or another look at, inspections, officers.
Yes, so for majority of the persons who listen to this program, the 311 radio show, I'm sure that they have heard it over and over. And it is not you that we're targeting, but it seems to be still a mystery to other persons out there that once you are operating a business in Barbados, that you're supposed to have an inspection done of the property to ensure that it meets all fire safety requirements. Mm-hmm. One of the things that the officers continue to dwell on is that they go out there, and let me say this up front now, we do not have to wait until you send a letter or make an application for us to come in and do an inspection of your facility. Mm-hmm. However, we would like it to be that you do make the application. Kind of saves us some trouble and some time as well. But we do have the authority that we can go into any business place in Barbados and check to see what is going on. That is written within the act itself.
There you go. And which act is this?
And we were talking about the safety and health at work.
Okay.
The Shaws Act.
Normally referred to as the Shaws Act. And one of the things that persons are becoming quite complacent about is getting that inspection done. Now, I don't understand. How is it? We have a business facility, first thing first, the building itself, worth thousands of dollars. Then we go, we buy our merchandise and our products and everything else that we have in there, which is another probably a couple thousands of dollars. These money people we talking about. And then when it comes to an inspection, something, an officer comes in every year, your anniversary year, and does an inspection of the facility to make sure that you're compliant. So they're checking for your exits. They're checking to make sure you have extinguishers, the smoke alarm, whether if it is one of the, what we call high-rise buildings, if you're using a wet rise, a dry rise. And when they say that rise, dry rise, again, it sounds technical, but all it is it a case now, instead of the officers running from floor to floor with all of these
big
heavy hose and everything, we have a system in place that we know water, with the wet, we know it's already flooded with water, there's water there. If there's a dry, now we have to take our own water connection and flood the system to get water into the building.
Could you break it down a little more? What is the rise you're referring to?
Now, if you think in terms of new construction, plumber doing his work, especially if you're living in a two-story or so house, so you have a bathroom up. You know, pipes have to go from the ground right throughout. Mm-hmm. So basically, this is what is happening with these buildings, what we call high-rise buildings, with our multi-story buildings. you have, going through the building, a connection on every single floor. Mm-hmm. A pipe going right through, and on every single floor, there is a connection.
Right.
So instead of officers having to run out, say, how much several lengths of hose, what we can do is that at every single, on every single floor level, mm-hmm, you then have the connection where you just take the hose, you make it the connection there, and this is on every floor.
Ah.
It is this identical thing on every floor.
Yeah, okay. And the only difference with dry and wet is that with the dry, the wet riser, mm-hmm, wherever you make that connection, there's water readily available to you. So if the fire, for example, if it's the incident, or you need on the fifth floor, for example, you connect on the fifth floor, there's water there. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the dry riser, if there's no, that means there's no water in that system. So
correct,
you have to flood it in from the trucks or whatever outside.
Whatever means you have
to get water to the top of that building.
Wow.
Which is a little more taxing and tedious, mm-hmm, on you as a firefighter. So that's the difference between the wet riser and the dry riser. It might not make full sense, you know, but they are all of those
buildings. That's why they're different professions.
Exactly. There's a pipe going through the building. One has water, mm-hmm, in it. So as soon as you turn it on, just like your tap at home,
it would have
water will
correct
be there.
Right.
The other one, now, we have to either use water from our supply, which would be the truck. We make a connection on the outside of the facility, the building, and we push water into the pipes so that we can have that water to use. Or if it is the case that the property itself has a tank where they store water, that they can then turn it on to try to flood the system.
Okay.
Or push water. Let me start saying flood. Push water into the system. Mm-hmm. Then that is what we consider dry race. It dry, as the name say, doesn't have water.
Mm-hmm.
Wet,
it has water already.
It has water already there.
Wow. You see that these things, these little details, when you think you know something, you realize you know nothing. But that's good. Good information. Yes.
Yes. So all of those are things that we look for when we are doing our inspections. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a case where we're just coming in there and we just looking around to see how many people are working there. We're looking at the exits, as I said, if they're adequate enough, if they're uncompromised. Because mm-hmm, sometimes people have exits, and when you go to the exits, like, wait, so where the exit is? And all of these boxes here, you got this old chair here, and you can't even get the door open. You can't even find the door.
Yeah, before she goes past that part, I'm glad she mentioned that it is not only at the door, sometimes you find in the corridor is.
Oh, yeah.
Puzzles of boxes, and if the corridor is built 3 feet, it's built 3 feet for a reason, because you know the kind of traffic they would have traveling to and from in that corridor. That's why it was built that size. If you add a box that takes up 2.5 feet or 2 feet of that corridor, you leave it now to have only a foot of space for people
and
to
pass. Imagine trying to get out of that
in an emergency
and people trampling over each other.
Exactly. You're supposed to allow for a certain amount of people to pass through per second.
Yeah.
So if you reduce the capacity of the walkway, as he's saying, the corridor, then 2-3 people cannot pass through the area at the same time. You don't have to go to single file.
Correct. Or stairwell, because even in the stairwell, I've seen people have boxes piled up the entire stairwell. And it cuts down, as forced again, the walkway, the size of the walkway. Which
imagine
was
the
built
day,
for
I'm
a reason.
Sorry, the imagery, what just came to my mind? when Officer Vaughn would have spoken as well about the Twin Towers, 9/11.
Okay.
Imagine you have an emergency, a dire emergency, and people are trying to leave, get out of the place to save themselves.
Oh, yes.
And because you use a stairwell as storage.
Ah.
Lives could be lost.
But you know some of these same people work inside the same environment and they're guilty of it.
Correct.
When you see these things start happening, shouldn't you open your mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Where is your safety and health committee?
Yes.
You were saying something, Jason.
No, I'm saying I'm glad she raised that example, because I don't think a lot of people see it that serious.
Yes.
But the reality about the situation, you work in a building, let's say 2-3 floors up, and you have boxes stored in the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that situation. You trying to get down, a host of staff trying to get down, but their boxes blocking their exit.
Yes.
The kind of panic and that kind of thing
exactly
that you could have.
I mean, they're not, and we say get down, but they're not gingerly walking down, they're running, you know, trying to run down the stairs and that.
Though they shouldn't be running. Though they shouldn't be running in an evacuation.
Yes,
in an evacuation situation, you want to be walking briskly.
Briskly.
But I know the reality about the situation is that in a dire situation where there's panic and so on,
mm-hmm,
no one, there's no telling what how persons may react.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's why we keep enforcing
it. It's instincts. Instincts normally would say to run, and unless you practice,
and that's where the drills come in.
Then you will do what nature tells you to do.
Yes. Correct.
Yes. What comes just like, you know what? I need to get out of here.
That flight mode,
it's just there.
Unfortunately, we don't see the reality until we are faced with the reality.
Correct. And then you hear the fire service didn't do this, or the fire service didn't do that.
Then your housekeeping, or bad housekeeping, should I say, would have been a contributing factor to whatever catastrophe might have happened.
Yes.
And there are places where we can say from experience that has been the case.
Yes.
Where bad housekeeping made things, something as simple as we are on the topic of inspection and storage and stuff, as simple as people piling stock to their ceiling.
Yes.
That is a very bad practice. We advocate for between 12 to 18 inches. We say 18 inches for proper clearance, 18 inches from the roof. So if you, from your roof to the top of your first box should be at least an 18 inch space.
Mm-hmm.
We have gone to places where all of us, as far as I could attest, I've gone to places to do, whether it be inspection or otherwise, and you've seen persons have stock piled to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, right up to the light. There's a light right above the stock. And some of these light balances tend to overheat at times and malfunction in whatever way. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons, that's the main reason why we do not advocate for you to have your stock piled right up to the roof.
Why so?
You mean
why, 12, why the space, 12 to 18 inches?
Because we want to give enough space in case to prevent or reduce the possibility of overheating, of those balances overheating or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. And even if, for example, there was a spark, mm-hmm. even if there was a little spark, if there's no box or anything right under the like ballast to cause it for it to burn, basically, even if there's a spark, it would hopefully not catch the entire thing. But if you have your stock pulled to the roof or something, a little spark takes place, and you have a box right beneath the light, mm-hmm. then there's all the fuel for it to burn.
And then we go even a little deeper when we're thinking in terms now of fire spread,
mm-hmm.
the different ways that fire is conducted, the way that heat is transferred.
Yeah.
We know that there's something called conduction. And when you think about a building carries steel and some purpose, but the fire didn't start on the second floor, so it was on the first floor. So how the things up inside the second floor start to burn? Obviously, the heat then goes through the walls and inside the walls, it was constructed properly, the correct way, and we had steel in there. The steel starts to heat up in everything else. Obviously, once it is, everything around is going to start to heat up. Now, if you have paper, things that are easily combustible.
Correct.
Huh? Then what is going to happen when it starts to reach a certain ignition temperature?
So
it is just going to...
Item, correct.
Mm-hmm.
As every item reaches its ignition temperature, it will start to burn. Whether it be cloth, whether it be paper, wood, whichever.
I know we're talking about fire. You're talking about fire here now, but I'm thinking of even the earthquake that would have passed this week.
Oh my, yes.
7.7 magnitude hitting Jamaica, Cuba, and the Cayman Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And even in downtown Miami, where they were evacuating people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Seismic Research Center has stated that the Caribbean is due for one
Yeah,
up to 8.8 magnitude. And, I mean, we're not calling for it. We definitely don't want it.
Yeah.
But my goodness, let's put things in place because we don't know what can happen, when it can happen. In fact, who would have thunk it?
That would have been a
tsunami threat to Jamaica after that earthquake.
Definitely.
We cannot afford to be oblivious to what is around
us. That's what we do.
Definitely.
We continue to live and put our head in the sand like an ostrich.
Yeah.
Correct.
Realizing these days are funny nights.
Mm-hmm.
Things that we didn't used to hear about before.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was listening to her talking. We had her on the show some time back. And I think it's like, we probably need to invite her back again. So see if we can get that arranged. Hearing her say that we are due one.
Yes. That is.
How many times have we gone out there with told persons, oh, man, this Barbados, you know, got an earthquake. Most we can get is a little tremor.
Mm-hmm.
And when you feel the tremor, you have heard persons talk about, oh, man, I feel so dizzy.
Yes.
And I see the buildings.
I feel as if the island sways more than it rocks or shakes, you know.
It's one of your eyes align right. Because, like,
A lot of people had different experiences with the couple that we had here.
Yeah. And that was just a tremor.
And those were just tremors. So, mm-hmm. I mean, could you just imagine? And even with the storage that we're talking about, can you imagine you having an earthquake and not a tremor now and having pile up of boxes all over your corridors and so on?
Right.
Which obviously you're not going to stay there if it's shaking. But then it creates a problem for you getting out because you have them pile all up the staircase.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody can get smart and say, all right, we can strap them in.
I believe you.
Thank you. Somebody will get smart and strap them in.
You don't put it beyond people, trust me.
You don't.
We've seen it.
I
can't say all, but we've seen a lot.
That you see, it leaves you appalled at the steps that persons would take instead of doing the correct thing.
Yes,
we
go to circumvent it, Lord.
Exactly.
Oh my word. So it's important. It is imperative for your life, for the lives of your employees, for the lives of your families. Please let's get things in order.
So and your customers, because your customers are a responsibility to you as soon as they enter your facility as well.
Mm-hmm. So, well, when we say customers, majority of the time people only think in terms of the person coming in to do a business. But you yourself working inside the organization, you are an internal customer.
Yes.
And persons fail to realize that, and you have a mouth that you can open and you can ask for certain things. It is within your right. If you don't have a safety committee, sit down, get some information on how to establish what are the recommendations, what it is that is needed, what are the responsibilities, the duties. Put something in place. Mm-hmm. Because gone are the days where you can just shake your head and say, not me, it is the employer. Mm-hmm. No. If you read it, I keep saying to people, get familiar with that app.
Yeah.
I mean, if you recognize the seriousness of it, you yourself as an employer, you also have certain you
everyone
have
has
to
a responsibility
yes.
Everybody has a responsibility
take responsibility for your own life.
That's
too
so true. I think that when we see things happening around us, it brings to mind this reality that we need to be knowledgeable.
Correct.
Until that phase passes and you know we're back to our old ways.
But yes,
like
as
I said, we are two weeks
but you know,
it goes over for 2 weeks and then we go back into our comfort zone.
Yes. That's why I'm thankful for the 311 radio show, where we can be reminded of these things, because it's, you know, to know and then to put into action are two different things. And then
correct.
To have the knowledge and then to the wisdom to put into action. And of course, the Barbados Fire Service is there to be able to assist you if you need any tips or advice. Could you just remind listeners of the number?
What is the call?
Hopefully.
We do get a few people call.
Right.
Maybe somebody will call to say, hi, Natasha, I'm calling because you say we don't.
Right. The numbers are 535-7830, 535-7831. 535-7832 and 535-7833.
All right. Correct. Wonderful, wonderful. So you see, the fire services, Barbados Fire Service, is not only interested in outing fires, but they help to prevent and to save your life as well.
Oh, yes. And now that you're on that, preventing fires and saving lives, there have been some changes within our unit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not sure if the others would have mentioned that Austin would have retired. He's no longer with us.
Wow.
Yes, that became official the first of this year. So, I'm saying hello. Happy retirement.
Okay. I'm sure he's on the greens.
And you.
Right.
He's probably on the greens, man. More than likely.
You mean green beans?
Oh,
right. So, then, on top of that, we also have some name changes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before we would have called Jason Fire Prevention Officer mm-hmm. Collins and me Natasha Ford, we're now Fire and Life Safety Officers.
All right.
So by me saying we're now Fire and Life Safety Officers doesn't mean that if you have a medical problem that you're coming to me.
Okay.
Let me clear that in the early. Fire and Life Safety in terms of, yes, we will still continue what we were doing before with the tips and going out there and doing assessments and everything else. But no, they also wanted us to also look at life, the things that threaten life. And I think that we have been doing that. So it's just a name change from my end. Not much in terms of difference in how we present or what we do. More have been added to our workload. So before, those persons who have been at making application to have their inspections done, they would have been going to the civilian staff in the department. Now the fire prevention unit, they're the ones responsible for the application forms and the issuing of the certificates.
So it's still called fire prevention unit?
Yes, I don't think that name changed.
Okay.
Right. Fire prevention and code enforcement unit. Let's get it correct.
There you go. There you
Let's
go.
Let's do the whole thing right. I still got a job at some commander, right? Getting them correct. So that has been one of the moves that has taken place so far for this year.
All right. There is something that we should have mentioned. We're talking about inspections. We were talking about it off air. And it's the fact that, yes, if you have a head office, etc. Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, very much so.
So, one of the things we recognize out there, we have persons, we have places here that have a lot of outlets. And they would have a head office. And when these head offices sent to have the inspections done or ask for the fire safety certificates, don't know around my tongue. When we go back to these establishments, we find that the place that we would have done or the inspection would have been done for, you cannot find the certificate. We're being told that these certificates are being kept at head office. That is a no-no. If the inspection was done, and let's just throw this out there, make up a building. Natasha's Variety, and I have four different outlets. Every single outlet that has been inspected should bear their certificate. So I should not have them at my head office. Anytime an officer comes, it should be displayed, not in a drawer or anything like that, that they should be able to come in. And this is not only for officers, but these are also for your customers. And if you're thinking in terms of getting serious about safety around here, when you walk in, you should look and see these fire certificates. I can tell you there are establishments that I go in and I see it framed. They're beautiful. Like, they're so... You know, you frame a picture of your family and have it there on the wall.
Yes.
It is framed like that.
Wonderful.
And you don't have to ask any question because we know that these people are compliant. But when head office, I'm not saying head office, you want to keep a copy? Take a copy of the original and you can keep it for your records. But that original certificate is supposed to be displayed at the building which was inspected.
All right. Correct. Yes. So we definitely have to note this. All right. So that's it for inspections, I believe, at this.
Yes.
But today,
that's
all right.
It for today on the inspections.
All right. Okay. So, yes. So, fire and life safety officers, not just fire prevention, but
that's,
you know, your work.
Yeah, how you can get
I saw her.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw her. I was laughing because I saw how she closed her eyes to process it. Right? So, like. She's processing
because in my mind, I work by acronyms, so I say FLS.
Okay, so you're breaking it.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't know. Right,
you okay, go give me some things that's more written.
All right, so fire and life safety officers. So from henceforth, whenever I introduce you, I'll say fire and life safety officers, Natasha Ford and Jason Collins. And when you see them on the road, it's not just fire prevention. They will still be doing the same work and more.
And more.
But you know, the good thing is that you all love what you do. And it's evident. You don't have to ask a question about it. So praise God for that.
Right, and as we have been on the topic of housekeeping today as well, housekeeping doesn't only mean inside or inside of a store or office, but even in your surroundings, especially around your homes, especially for those who have constant grass fires year in and year out. We came out of the topic of indiscriminate burning only last week and a couple of weeks prior to that. So we just want to remind you, this is the perfect time to clean up the grass and all the debris and leaves from around your house. And you don't have to burn it because you now have alternate methods that we have been preaching to you for the last couple of weeks. So there's no excuse now. You clean up early so that when the what we call the crop season comes into full swing, that you have a lovely 10 feet at least away from the bush from your house. so that your house wouldn't be in danger. You wouldn't be calling the fire service here. Come quickly because the house got burned down.
I would add to that, Officer Collins, the fact that we've been told that we're in a drought and we've been in a drought for a while.
We
definitely need to clean up our surroundings because we don't want to have all that dry.
We have water. We are water scarce right now, as we all know. And every 600 gallons that we have to dispense on a fire is somebody not getting water in their house to cook, to bathe, to whatever the case may be. Think of it that way.
Yes.
It affects all of us in the long run.
That's right. All right. So just one final thing before we close today's program. And, you know, just to talk about the move, because we all know that the Barbados Fire Service, you know, there have been some shifting around with the buildings in town and so on. I know you want to just...
Okay. Well, this is as much as I can say about it. Right now, we haven't been given any official word. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we do have that information available, because I've been hearing things on the radio as well, but we have not been given the official word. We have not been told anything. As soon as we do have that information, mm-hmm. guaranteed, I'm going to come here and spill the beans.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh boy, well thank you very much. So yeah, I'm going to close the program now by saying thank you very much, Fire and Life Safety Officers Natasha Ford.
Well, me.
Yes.
You're most welcome. I have to get a custom
name change. And Jason Collins.
Thank you very much for having me also, and good afternoon Barbados. Continue to enjoy the rest of your Sunday and your week.
Yes, and I'm Krista J. Paul. Thank you very much, and that's it for the 311 Radio Show right here on VOB 92.9 FM. Remember, you can always log on to VOB929.com to listen to the podcast of any of the previous shows and today's show as well. And as we always say to close out the 311 Radio Show,
Fire prevention is our intention.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.